The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Al and I have a great show lined up for you. We will be talking resource stocks, the resource sector in general, also diving into energy and the U.S. markets. Al, unfortunately, could not be around for the first few segments of this show, but I am kicking off today's show with Mr. Sean Broderick. Sean is a regular contributor to our website. He also is the resource specialist at the Oxford Club. You can check out his work at investmentu.com. Sean, you're joining us from the InvestmentU conference taking place this week. Can you give us a rundown of what you will be talking about there, please?
I'll be giving two presentations. One is my main presentation, which is on precious metals, and that'll be quite interesting. We're really seeing some great moves there. I've been doing charts about this on just the past few weeks, and just the tremendous moves we've seen not only in gold but also silver, and I think the next leg we could see silver lead higher. There are many reasons for this. One thing that we have to watch right now, though, as a matter of fact, is the U.S. dollar, which just recently, Wednesday night, it broke down to the lowest level since, I think, August. Then it immediately went into a rally. And so there's not much to the rally. It's probably short covering, but you can look at it and say, you know, that's a rally of nearly 1%, which is a big move in a currency. So maybe it's the beginning of a dollar rally, but I would point out that the U.S. dollar has been making lower lows and lower highs since the beginning of March. And so this could just be a brief rally in a more bearish turn. There are many other forces besides that that are really pushing gold and silver and potentially platinum and palladium, though those are two very different fish, much higher. That's my main presentation. Then I'm going to have a 40-minute workshop, which is on oil, natural gas, pretty much the whole energy complex. We even have solar in there as well, which actually that's more mystifying what's going on there to most people, because we have seen rallies in oil, despite, you know, the fact that we have tremendous supply. We just saw a report from the Energy Information Administration on this huge build in the U.S. oil stockpiles. But basically, that's based on the low, low rig count here in the U.S., not overseas, I should point out, by the way. In fact, 30% of the world's oil rigs are now at work on the Arabian Peninsula, simply because they've been cranking up how much actual drilling they do there. We are seeing falling U.S. Production, though. There are hints of stronger demand from China, India, maybe even the U.S. And then there's that big meeting that they're having between Saudi Arabia, OPEC, and Russia, where they're going to try and hammer out some kind of oil production free. So you put all those things together, that's what's really supported it. And I'll add in one more, which is seasonal. Seasonally, we see oil rally into April, and that's what we've seen. But then after that, it takes kind of a bumpy path lower and really has problems in the third and fourth quarter. So this rally is unusual considering what we have for inventories here in the U.S. and also in Europe. But seasonally, it's understandable, and the next leg down could be coming. Personally, I expect oil to be in a range. We might be closer to that range than the bottom, but there's still great ways you can play energy. And so that'll be part of my presentation as well. I'll fix in precious metals, in oil and gas, and you name it. So it is going to be a great, fun time. I always like meeting our subscribers here. I always like speaking to many industry analysts and also people from oil companies or gold companies, that kind of thing. It's a great time here.
Sean, let's stick to your commentary on oil, because I think the move up north of $40 a barrel surprised a lot of investors, since the fundamental background in the sector hasn't really changed. I want to get your opinion on how important you think this meeting this weekend in Qatar will be for the price direction, considering there are rumors out there that supply might be curtailed, but nothing's really come out of any of these rumors. Do you think it'll be different this weekend?
I think that this meeting has had a lot to do with the previous run-up we've seen in oil. You know, I mean, the fact that they're speaking about some kind of production cap, that's the kind of thing that that has helped boost oil. And so, therefore, after the meeting takes place, if you don't expect a lot to really happen, and I don't, and apparently you don't as well, that means there's some potential downside, because that was boosting sentiment going in. They'll have the meeting. We don't expect a lot to happen, so that means that the next leg down could actually be triggered by that meeting.
Now, how significant do you think another leg down in the oil price would be for the U.S. producers? We have seen lower rig counts, significantly lower rig counts in the U.S., but would another significant pullback in the oil price handcuff these companies to the point where we might see even more bankruptcies?
Right. Debt is a huge thing. In fact, that is part of my presentation, not only in the U.S., but also in Canada. Pretty much North America, there are some very indebted companies, and I would tend to stay away from those. I think there are still some that can do extremely well. They have been doing very well. They've been right-sizing, selling off, you know, things they really aren't concentrating on, looking at their core competencies, seeing what they can do, concentrating on the low-cost areas. And so there will be both winners and losers from this. But if you were writing up some company that still can't make money at these prices in anticipation that prices are going to go yet higher, and let me tell you, some of these losers have had a great tailwind, because people see the prices going up. They say, this company can't make money now, but it'll make money when oil goes back to $65, so I'll buy it, right? I mean, and I can see that logic. But those are the kinds of ones that will be hurt the most. By the time this meeting is over, I would prefer to be in companies that can make money at current prices or lower. I expect you could see prices go down to the low 30s, and so you have to be able to make money in that area. That doesn't mean that, you know, good companies won't be dragged down, because as my old friend Charles Valuta used to say, he worked on Wall Street for, God, about 60 years. He used to say, when the paddy wagon comes along, then the good girls get dragged downtown along with the bad, right? So, but if you're a longer-term investor, this is great, because we've seen a big run-up in oil prices. It took a lot of people by surprise. And so maybe people haven't allocated enough of their portfolio to the sector. If we have a pullback, and it could be a good one, you know, if we're in a range, then we might be near the top of that range, and we could go down to the bottom or near the bottom of that range. And if that happens, then that could be your next opportunity to load up on some great companies at cheap prices. I prefer companies that pay you. You can find plenty of those in the energy industry. But again, avoid the ones that are really indebted, especially those that can't service their debt at current prices. Those ones are probably cruising for a bruising.
Sean, I think that comment about avoiding those companies with large amounts of debt is a great comment to end on, and not only just for oil companies, but also for a lot of resource companies. If investors dive into the balance sheet and they see large debt numbers without any sort of significant cash flow, that should be a warning sign. People should not assume that when metal prices go up or oil prices go up, that all of a sudden these companies will be in that much better shape. Thanks for your time, Sean. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believed so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-G-O-L-D.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
It's no secret that pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, molds, and fungus can inflict severe damage in the human body. Fortunately, a new and vastly improved silver solution has been developed. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary broad-spectrum antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal solution that can be used inside the body as well as on the skin. Supernatural Silver is unique and superior to colloidal and ionic silvers, using a patented technology that is highly effective against colds, flus, infections, food poisoning, and yeast, in addition to many other pathogens. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, extremely safe, and is the number one choice of thousands of people for immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver could change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code HEALTHY for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition, we're going to shift focus a little bit on this segment and talk more about resource stocks in a broad sense, but then also drilling down into more what investors and fund managers, what their mood is for the sector. I have with me Marshall Barrel, investment manager down in San Francisco. Marshall has been on the show a number of times, is also a very good friend. And we also have Richard Postma, also known as Doc, on the website. Marshall, I want to get your opinion first. I know that you go to a lot of company presentations. You are well hooked into the investment community down in San Fran. What is the general mood of, first of all, some of the brokers and funds, investment houses down in San Fran towards the resource sector in terms of stocks?
I think it's certainly turned more positive, at least for some of the people. There are others that are still wary about the metals and resource stocks in general, the different commodities. But let's focusing in on gold. The mood, I would say, at least for some people, has turned more positive. The fact that gold, and more particularly the gold stocks, whether it's the majors or the intermediates or the juniors, have moved up very nicely this year and continue to perform well, has changed the mood and the attitude of some people, not everybody. And frankly, from an investment standpoint, I think that's encouraging, because if everybody was on board, that's the time to be wary and cautious. But the fact that there's still a divergence of opinion about whether this move is going to continue and how real it is means that there's still others to come on board. And in my personal view, it's a very positive development. And the fact that we're in mid-April and gold and the gold shares have continued to do well is very important and very positive. And I say that in the context that last year the gold rally lasted for 3 weeks in January. The year before it was for about 5 or 6 weeks in January or in early February. And this year, we're well into April, and it's still positive. Still looks very good, and I think the mood for at least some people has changed and reflects that.
It is understandable that investors would be wary of a move that we saw to start off this year, simply because, as you pointed out, the last, I think, 3 years, we had bumps coming out of tax loss selling season right into the beginning of January, sometimes extending into February, but then these moves were quickly sold off. They're not being sold off right now, and I think you're seeing some companies as well turn a little bit more bullish and try to get their name out there a little bit more. I had Yale Simpson, the co-chairman of Exeter Resource, on Friday, and he mentioned that they are planning a trip down the West Coast, I believe including in San Francisco. Marshall, have you seen an increase in companies, resource companies, marketing coming down to San Fran to get their names on people's radars?
Somewhat. It's certainly not a flood by any means, but there's been somewhat of an increase, and there's also somewhat of an increase in companies seeking to raise funds for their operations. There's also, and it's an area that I think people need to be wary of, there are companies that are seeking to raise funds to keep the lights on, and those raises and those companies one needs to be extremely cautious about. But there are companies, and there's an increase in seeking to raise money for operational things, whether it's exploration or discovery drilling, or possibly an expansion of an existing production. And there seems to be an increase, and it's circular. There was a decrease in seeking to raise money because nobody was investing and nobody was interested in financing companies. Now, because there is somewhat more interest, the companies are out seeking to raise the money, and it's a circular thing. But again, I think it's a positive development from the standpoint of looking at the industry and where it's headed.
So, Doc, you and I have chatted over the last couple of weeks looking at the technicals for a number of stocks and also for some of the ETFs like GDX and GDXJ. We're seeing stocks break out and hold these gains even more so than what gold has been doing. Do you think that investors need to rush into these stocks because it could get really moving aggressively to the upside?
I think for those that got in December with some positions, it's a nice place to be. And then with the movement up, we had a little bit of a pullback, but not much for some of these stocks. Some others have pulled back. I just feel that we're now in the early start of a bull market for these things, because if you look at the monthly charts, we're still way away from the highs. So everybody thinks this is a great move, but comparatively, it's not. Well, we haven't seen the big move in these stocks yet, and that's to come in the months ahead, because it's going to be a process like we talked about, Corey. It's not just going to go to the moon and keep going to the moon. But what it's telling you is that the precious metals, in my view, have in all likelihood, especially gold, seen their lows. And we may just get another leg up in these precious metal stocks, which are probably signaling potentially a breakout higher in gold again. And that may come in May. So it's kind of exciting to watch this, because not only technically are there good technical markers that we've seen the bottom in a lot of these precious metal stocks, but it's a general feeling, too. You can just feel it. It's totally different from the other rallies we had where there were certain people always saying, oh, get on board the train because we're going to the moon. But back then, you don't have the feel we have now, and the technicals weren't verifying it. But this time, the technicals look very good.
Some of the technicals that you look for, how important is it that, let's say, these stocks are already above their 200-day moving average?
That's huge, Corey. We have not seen that for months. But even more importantly, you have a number of these stocks now that have taken out their 200-week. And that's huge, because we haven't seen that at all. And some of them have flirted with the 200-day moving average on their move down. But none of them have in the past took out their 200-week. And it's these little technicals that when you see this, where they take out these moving averages like this, especially the 200-week, that just lends verification that we've seen the low in these stocks. And so any pullback toward the 200-week for some of these stocks, to me, are buying opportunities from a technical standpoint.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Dr. Joe Wallach is not your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Dr. Wallach asked, why does America spend more money on healthcare by far and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? The doctor believes that people should be empowered with a basic understanding of nutrition, then take charge of their life to attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects, requiring more toxic prescription drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies, to our own destruction no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit GCNminerals.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join the GCN Minerals team. Go to GCNminerals.com. That's GCNminerals.com.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believed so strongly in gold that in 1985, he changed gold ownership forever. Today, our national debt is spiraling out of control, but gold coins could be the answer. Call 1-866-525-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com to get new, never-before-released information about gold. From the U.S. Money Reserve, call 1-866-525-G-O-L-D.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. I have on this segment a good friend of ours and a person who I highly respect in the mining industry. I have Brent Cook of Exploration Insights. So, Brent, thanks for taking some time with us.
Always a pleasure, Corey. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely, Brent. I want to start off by talking about what you and Joe have been doing in your newsletter. What have some of the trading aspects that you guys have done recently?
Well, it's been rather interesting, actually. I brought Joe on at the end of November of last year because I felt the precious metal sector was about to turn, and his first two picks, Lakeshore and Claude Resources, have both been acquired by another company, one by Tahoe, the other by Silver Standard Resources. His other pick, Newmarket, is up, 60 or 70% since he bought that. So it's been interesting. The mid-tier companies, the mid-tier producers, basically located in stable jurisdictions, have been the acquisition targets, and I think that is probably going to continue. We know that most of the larger mining companies need to replace their reserves, and I think they recognize now that they need to replace them with economic reserves as opposed to marginal or uneconomic. So that's been the play, and it's been working out pretty well.
Now, Brent, when we were talking off mic, you had mentioned that you guys have taken some profits from these companies that have run, but we haven't seen a huge pullback in some of these companies, actually in really any of these companies, but we also haven't seen them exploding to the upside quite like they did in the first couple months. How do you feel about this sideways action after such a nice move to kick off the year?
Well, I think it's real. I think the turn in the precious metal sector and exploration sector is real. I expect by the end of this year, we'll be in better shape than we are now. It's run pretty hard the first few months of this year. My feeling is we're due for a pause. But what I have noticed is when we have taken profits, like we sold Claw to the Takeover, we made about 80 or 90% on that trade, but the stock is up since then. So the decent gold companies we've taken profits on have, by and large, continued to go higher. So there's probably a lesson there as well.
So, Brent, with this, I guess, renewed interest in not only the junior sector, but kind of the resource sector in general, or precious metals especially, do you think that we're going to see a lot of these junior companies start to raise money again and either have an easier time raising money, whether they have a good story or not?
I'm afraid so. I wish it was the fact that only the good guys with good projects were going to get money. But the problem is we've got, you know, 1,300 exploration companies out there. Every one of them has somebody behind them and is supported by someone who thinks they're the best, you know, best thing since sliced bread. And most of the people that invest in this sector are not able to really evaluate a property and its economic potential the way it should be. And that's just the way it is. Like, you know, no way could I evaluate a brain surgeon's work. That's just the way it is. So it's easy to tell the story of finding the hidden treasure out under the sagebrush or moose pasture. And you can draw good pictures and put together good maps, but we know that 90% of those prospects will never amount to anything. So there's going to be, and I'm seeing a lot of companies raising money, and a lot of these companies probably don't have projects that are worthy of putting money into.
Now, Brent, this kind of ties into my next question, and whether we get into specific stocks or not, how do you feel about these optionality plays that seem to have been, well, the flavor of, let's say, the year for some companies?
In my personal portfolio, or the Exploration Insights portfolio, and for the most part, that includes these optionality plays. And I recognize they can move, and they can move really well with an increase in the gold price. What I've seen, and this is backed up by people I know in the industry, is that say you've got a marginal gold deposit with an increase in the gold deposit of 100 or 200 bucks even, maybe 25% of these marginal deposits could be economic. But for the most part, these deposits have fundamental problems, either the metallurgy, the jurisdiction, the infrastructure, that sort of thing, that can't be fixed with an increase in gold price, no matter what someone might plug into a spreadsheet. I mean, I can give you an example of, let's say, Springpole Lake, which is a nice sounding deposit up in Canada. But the thing sits under a large, very large, deep lake. That will never be a mine, in my opinion. Yet, you can point to it and say, we've got 4 million ounces at such and such grade. Those sorts of deposits, another one, Metates, that Chesapeake owns, I think they claim 18 million ounces of gold, but it's refractory in the middle of nowhere. The CapEx is in the order of $5 billion if it gets built. And they've got to bring water up from somewhere, maybe the ocean. So, you know, these sorts of things sound good on paper when you can say you've got X number of ounces. But to be honest, they will never be a mine.
So you even sound like you shy away from these companies that say, you know, it's a huge, huge deposit, but it'll just take a higher gold price. You dig further and say, it doesn't even matter necessarily how high the gold price is. This thing is a long way from being built, if ever.
Exactly. Exactly. But I also recognize that these companies do move if they have, good visibility, good promotion, et cetera. I mean, take a company like Nova Gold. It's got a $2 billion market cap now. To build one of the deposits is $5 billion. And the one in Alaska, they need to build a power plant down on the coast to get the power to it, which means getting a pipeline to the power plant, I mean, these things are just not going to happen, in my view.
So what do you think about these companies that have big properties but have since reevaluated and are looking at a smaller scale development and hopefully funding the rest of production through cash flow?
Sometimes that works, but again, my experience has been that all the problems that you've got with a big mine, you've got with a small mine, except you don't have the, call it reserves, to cover your butt on these. Going from exploration to building a mine is a huge gap in terms of experience someone needs, the people they need, and such. Normally what happens when someone builds a small mine to fund exploration and grow the company, all the money goes right back into the mine in terms of trying to improve the deposit or the recovery or whatever, because to build these small mines, to get the CapEx down, they sort of cut corners, and that causes problems further down the road.
All right, that's interesting, Brent. To wrap us up here, are there any exploration plays out there right now that you are really interested in? Anything new on the map for you?
You know, I'm looking at things all the time. Well, I guess there's one company we bought recently, Evrim Resources, a very small prospect generator. I don't see, there's no immediate catalyst. I wouldn't recommend anyone go out and bid the stock up. But they're good guys. They're good. The fellow they've got in Mexico is responsible for at least two discoveries. He knows the terrain, and they're pulling up some good results from a very early stage project. So that's one that we continue to own, but we own at a lower price. I got to put that in as well. Cardinal Resources in Australia is one we own that's got a good project going in Ghana. So there's a few, but I'm not seeing a lot of new exploration ideas because really the past 2 or 3 years there has not been much exploration going on.
Well, very true, Brent. It's always enjoyable having you on the show. Everybody stick around. We're going to have Brent's partner, Joe Mazumdar, coming up next segment. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you, Corey.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, my name is Nick Lupo. One World Whey has been by far the best protein that I've ever had. I take it 3 times a day, once in the morning as soon as I wake, once for a pre-workout snack, and once for a post-workout recovery drink. It has helped me transform and sculpt my body into what I have now. I began taking the product about 2 years ago, and boy, let me tell you, I'm in the best shape of my life. I've seen major muscle mass gains and have 0% body fat. I have had people in my gym ask if I compete in bodybuilding because of how lean and muscular I am. I used to suffer from everyday aches and pains from hard manual labor my whole life and arthritis that runs to my family. But One World Whey has helped me take that everyday pain from a 10 to a 3. Some days I feel no pain at all, just full of life and energy. It has also helped my skin look younger and healthier. Thank you, Synergistic Nutrition, for One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad. But boy, was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. Al and I are chatting with Brent Cook's partner right now, Joe Mazumdar. Joe, you specialize in the mid-cap stocks, plus you also deal with a lot of companies that are looking at bringing their property into production. You came out with a presentation at the PDAC back in March in Toronto that I found very interesting. I wanted to bring you on the show and talk about what you talked about there. And this is regarding the capital and financing structure of companies as they advance their projects through the construction and development phase going into production. Can you give us a little overview on what your talk was about and why you think it's important for investors to pay attention to the way companies go about raising and financing for construction?
The capital structure discussion was something that I'd looked at for a while, because the thing is that financing risk is obviously a big deal for a lot of these development companies, because they have to raise anywhere from, you know, 50 to 100, maybe potentially up to $1 billion. So how they structure it is important. But most of the people think that once the financing is done, the risk is gone and, you know, we're off to the races. You know, and that's understandable, because over the last 3 to 4 years, there's not very many companies that, you know, had the good luck, good fortune of being able to get funded in the previous 3 to 4 years. So what I decided to do was not look at the ones that didn't get funded, but those ones that actually did get funded, because funding wasn't a total, 100% security that this thing would go into commercial production. And so we found failures, and people know some of these, even after the project was funded. And so what I wanted to do was look, you know, potentially at the tea leaves here, backward looking, by saying, look at the capital structure and see the capital structure of a company, which is, you know, how they funded the project to development, and look at the attributes of the capital structure to say, hey, you know what? This probably is a good project because they got this kind of capital structure. This might not be such a good project because of this capital structure. And the way I looked at it was, the capital structure gives you an idea of the level of independent due diligence done. That's where I was going with this.
You know, I don't think it's any coincidence. We were talking with Rick Rule earlier in the week, and I know you guys, you and Brent, are both very close to Rick, given the fact that Brent used to work for what has evolved into Sprott Global. But Rick's comment about financing was, he said, you know, when you look at these companies that dilute their shareholders to death when they could look at other very effective means of financing. He said that really is a business model that we're starting to look at more and more right now in terms of, you know, selling forward, things like that, the base of various debt instruments. How do you feel about that, Joe?
Well, this has always been my argument about dilution. The thing that when people talk about dilution, you know, dilution is, you know, value per share, whatever per share. And everybody looks at the per share number, the denominator.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that if you sell a project like a stream, you're working on the numerator. You're basically giving away maybe potentially the exploration upside or potentially the leverage to gold price. And then on a per share metric, you can still see that quote-unquote dilution. But it's not because you issued shares. It's because you gave the project away. So there's still a certain dilution there in terms of value that can happen that's got nothing to do with share dilution.
Joe, how do you feel about streaming agreements in the aspect where companies get money up front, but then they have an agreement to pay or distribute some of the metal that they produce to these companies? Is this a solid form of financing in your eyes?
Well, here's the thing about streaming. Streaming was developed originally, you know, on assets that were base metal assets, and they sold the precious metal streams. And for a base metal company to sell the precious metal stream makes total economic sense because nobody holds them to account on the revenue generated from this byproduct. And by byproduct, I mean about less than 10% of the gross revenue. And that's at Newmont, where I work, that's basically what we call the byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
And so the market doesn't really care about your byproduct revenue. In the end, you hold that against costs, and it just works in the cost formula. So by selling it forward, doesn't do anything to you. And it also gives you another form of financing. So for me, a stream on somebody's byproduct credit is a win-win situation for both companies. And that's really, for me, where the streaming companies had the leverage, because they would be able to be valued as a precious metal company at a very low discount, but they would be buying a highly discounted byproduct credit coming off a base metal deposit that would be discounted much higher. So in terms of ARB, it was great. It just made huge amounts of sense to both companies. And the base metal guy would get some money coming in on a product that he didn't really care about and the market didn't care about. So for me, that was a win-win situation. The issue is when the stream happens on the main product. So now you're financing the main product, which is the gold. And that's what the company needs to make money. And that's what the investor, the shareholder, wants for them to use to generate revenue and cash flow, if that's the idea here. But if you give that away, if you show on one slide that, hey, I've got I've got upside and I'm very levered to gold, and then on the other side you say I've got this really inexpensive debt structure which is made out of a stream, which, you know, right now is like a zero cost, and you go, great. Mm-hmm. But if the gold price changes or you find more, suddenly the cost of that gets much more expensive. And that's one thing they don't talk about.
You know, I think one of the things that's really important to glean from this particular conversation is the fact that the resource sector, whether you're looking at the junior companies or the more senior companies, has certainly got a lot more sophisticated, Joe, than it was when I first started, for example, back in 1982. It's, you know, there is a lot more credence being given to what I would call important fundamental factors. And that's what we're talking about right now, you know. A company that raises money by diluting themselves into oblivion, not really caring so much about the shareholders, is a company that, in my opinion, you really don't want to invest in. You really want to go with the management of a company. You want to go with a company, I guess I should say, whose management is sophisticated enough to strongly consider deals like this.
If the gold price is too low and you have a project, it's best to leave those ounces in the ground. But if the financing structure is too diluted from either the numerator or the denominator, it's potentially best to hold on to the project until you can get a better financing deal. But some of them will go straight to building the project on a finance or a capital structure that really doesn't do anything for the shareholders. And when you come out of it, you're in development, you're producing, and you're wondering why your stock hasn't gone up, is basically because you sold the project and nobody really cares.
All right, Joe, let's talk about some of these stocks that have already been on a run here. We've seen doubles, even triples over the last few months in some of the higher quality producers, also in some marginal producers and development type companies. Where do you stand when people say this run is just going to continue, so people should be getting in? Do you agree with that?
Oh, this run is good. I still think, you know, we'll have, you know, it'll ebb and tide as we go. And what we're trying to do is, like, we've moved from, not moved completely, but we were always and continue to look for buying companies with quality assets when they pull back. That philosophy will never change. Whether it's in gold, whether it's in zinc, whether it's in uranium, whether it's in any of these commodities we still feel strongly about, and obviously gold. Gold, obviously, right now has got this big sentiment push behind it, as, you know, especially in out of the U.S., you know, the ETFs are going up. You know, gold's still sort of sideways, but over the last couple of years, gold has gone up in almost every other currency except for the U.S. dollar. This year, it's going up in the U.S. dollar. And so when U.S. investors look at that, they can see it going up. They're looking for more leverage. They're looking for the equity plays. And we know how much Newmont and the Barricks, small companies, not small companies, sorry, big companies, has gone up, you know, a lot. And why take the risk of a small company when you can get that kind of return in a big company? Now those kind of returns have come down to the some of these other companies, and now we're seeing a lot of these other companies being financed where we didn't see that financing before. And so these guys could actually raise capital because there is investor interest. So the sentiment is definitely there. But what I would caution is that if you do take on these plays that are right now marginal or out of the money options at this gold price, when you go into them, and you might have a liquidity event, if gold pulls back and the liquidity drains, it'll be like a bear trap for you. You won't be able to get your money.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Michael Reagan. My father, President Ronald Reagan, believes so strongly in gold that he changed gold ownership forever by bringing back physical gold to the American public, allowing gold coins to be minted and sold to U.S. citizens just like you, starting in 1985. Gold ownership can help protect your financial future, especially when our national debt is spiraling out of control. Many smart Americans have kept their retirements from being wiped out during America's financial crisis thanks to physical gold coins. I strongly urge you to call the U.S. Money Reserve at 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a special gold guide with new, never-before-released information about gold from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-866-944-GOLD or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. I'm Michael Reagan. Thank you.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.